I the first to arrive?" I ask as I follow him to the black wood door, noticing a small video camera above it, pointed right at me. I self-consciously correct my posture. "You're the last, actually," he says, which takes me by surprise. Everyone is already in the learning center getting oriented. My stomach churns. I hate being the last one, even though it's common with my time blindness. "So I'm late?" I whisper as he puts his hand on the doorknob. "Not late. You're perfectly on time." He opens the door and ushers me inside the building. Immediately, I'm met with the smell of cedar and wood smoke, the room looking exactly as a former fishing lodge should. There's a fireplace at the far end, small flames crackling, an elk head above the mantel. Shelves packed with books run along the worn wood walls, with small native carvings on display. In the center of the cavernous room are leather couches and upholstered chairs, with plaid blankets draped over the backs and a couple of rough-hewn coffee tables carved from cedar. In the corner, a staircase leads to the second floor. "This will be your common room," he says, gesturing to the cozy space. To the left of me is a closed door with a reception sign on it. David leads me to it just as it opens and a woman steps out. She's about as short as I am, maybe 5'3", in her mid-40s, with a brown bob and thick-cut bangs with a cherubic face, wearing a blue flannel shirt and a load of silver bangles around her wrist. "Sydney, this is Michelle," he says. "Michelle, Sydney Denick is here." "Our last arrival," Michelle says, nodding profusely. Her smile is plastered on her face from ear to ear, a little too wide. She extends her hand, her bangles clinking together, and gives me a quick, albeit sweaty, shake. Her hand trembles slightly under my grasp. "I was just telling Sydney she's not late. She's perfectly on time," he says, as I fight the urge to wipe my palm against my jeans. Of course," Michelle exclaims loudly. "No, you're not late at all. Right on time. So nicely to finally meet you." "Did you already check Amani in?" I ask her. Michelle frowns for a moment and exchanges a confused glance with David before she goes, "Oh, Amani, yes, with the headscarf." "Hijab," I correct her. "Yes, hijab," she nods vigorously, smiling again. "Yes, of course. Yep, she went straight to her room. Would you like to do the same? The stewards will bring you your bags. Or David can take you right to the learning center and get you introduced to all the other students and the..." "Before we do that," David interjects, "it's time that Sydney hands over her phone." "Of course," Michelle says, her cheeks going pink. She gives me an anxious look. "Sorry, dear. I know it's a painful process." She holds out her hand expectantly. I sigh and fish my phone out of my jacket. I tap the screen once, just so I can see the wallpaper of my grandmother's smiling face one last time. But when I do so, something isn't right about the screen. Before it has time to register, Michelle has taken my phone from me. "Wait, can I see that again?" I say, trying to take it back. "Sorry," she says, letting out a nervous laugh as she quickly slips it into her back pocket. "I know it's hard, but you'll get used to it. Everyone says they appreciate talking on the phone and the landline so much more. You'll look forward to your Friday nights. And, of course, there's..." David clears his throat, cutting her off. "Now that the hard part is done, let me show you to your room," he says to me, putting his hand at my back briefly before giving Michelle a curt nod. "Thank you, Michelle." "Yes, of course," she says before she scurries back into her office. Yet, I can't stop thinking about my phone, about what should have been a picture of my grandmother about a year before she died. It was one of the harder days, when Alzheimer's had taken over her nearly completely. But suddenly she remembered who I was. She looked at me and smiled. "Sydney," she had said, with so much love it broke me. It was so beautiful and pure and real. I had taken a picture of that moment. That's been my wallpaper ever since. But when I tapped on the screen for that brief second, that's not the picture I saw. It was a different picture of my grandmother, taken earlier that same day. In that picture, she was angry and confused, staring right at the camera, wanting me to leave. A warning.